Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. The coffee is tasting pretty good today. It is a sunny day. I would say it's not exactly warm outside, but what does it matter? At least the sun is out. That's my thought process. I'll take it. Amen. I'll take it. I want it warm, but I don't want it too warm. And here in North Carolina, it's like we got the cold faucet and the hot faucet. It's like one's on and the other one's on, but there's no in between. Amen. But I'll take it. It's a nice day out. Hopefully you're doing well. Amen. I thank you so much for listening. And we're just looking at Genesis 8. And we spent some time on verse 5 and 6, but we read all the way here to verse 12. And so what we'll do, we're going to read this passage of scripture again, and we're going to get deeper into this idea of God preparing us and using his creation in his plan. Verse 5 of Genesis 8, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. This is verse 5 of Genesis 8. Verse 6, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her into him into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. That's Genesis 8, 5 through 12. I repeat the verses a lot because sometimes if I'm listening to something, I wish they would repeat the verses a lot because sometimes I don't know where they're at, you know, in a radio ministry and so forth. So that's why I do that, in case you're wondering why does he keep saying the verse numbers. But that's why I do that. I'm assuming, you know, you might not have your Bible open. Maybe you're in the car, maybe you're at work. And so I'm just giving you that. All right. So what we're looking at here, what we looked at yesterday, this is timeline. Yes, I'm going to admit it seems somewhat confusing, but it went from a duration of 74 days with the tops of the mountains being visible. And I believe we get that number from going from the 7th month and the 17th day to the 10th month and the first day. I didn't do the exact math, but I think that's where we get that number of 74 days, which I'm using, again, not my own anecdotal evidence, but a good chart here on answersingenesis.org called Biblical Overview of the Flood Timeline. And I'm going to trust their information because they literally have biblical citations for every date. From what I can tell, it's correct. So you got 74-day duration. Then you have 40 more days. We talked about 40, that number of testing, that number of trial. And you see Noah sends out a raven. How does he do it? He sends it out of the window. Amen. And that window is emblematic or symbolic of how God prepares his people way in advance. And so what we'll do is we'll take a break and we're going to pick up where we left off as soon as we come back. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Amen. Here we are back from the break, and I'm going to give you the verse because I don't want you to take my word for anything. We used to have a preacher years ago that said, never take my word for it, look it up in the scripture. And you know what? That I think is great advice because man is, you know, flawed and so forth. So always look up what I'm saying in the scripture to validate it. And that's what I do. And I try to take the advice of other Bible teachers that I've studied under that say, compare scripture with scripture. God never contradicts himself is another way to put it. Genesis 6, 16 through 17. A window shalt thou make to the ark, And in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the floor of the ark shalt thou set the side thereof, with lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. So here in Genesis 6, we have God's instructions coming from God himself, speaking to Noah, saying you need to put a window in the ark. And we know that the ark, assume the instructions came early on in the building of the ark, like before it was started, right? Around the time it was started. We understand the ark took maybe 100 years to build. And so we see here that all that time later, now the window is becoming very important. And I know I've probably hit that point enough, but just again, thank God for what he's doing in your life, even if you can't clearly see. You know, praise him anyways, as many would say. And a raven goes forth. You know, look, this is the idea of the raven is going forth to test out, is the land dry? And there's so much here, right? Noah's at the highest point. He couldn't see anything. So God is going to use his creation to show him what happens. And what happens is eventually the water is going to recede, but it's not going to come from the raven. You know, what happens to the raven? Ultimately, we don't know. Some people believe the translation is more of a, the raven went to and fro, or, you know, from the ark and back, right? We don't know. Others believe the raven never came back. Well, what do we know about ravens? They're big birds, amen. Kind of reminds me of a vulture, but I did enough research to know that they're not exactly the same. They're in the same family as the crow, and ravens are smart, they're cunning. They feed on dead flesh for the most part. And they are found in mountainous regions, and they are found in abundance in Palestine and in the Holy Land area there. So the fact that they would be near the mountains in that area completely jives with the biblical account. And so, you know, and we understand that that Ariat there is near Turkey and so forth and near Iraq. And so it's not exactly in Israel, but you get the idea, the Middle East there. And we see that the raven was a food in the Bible that was forbidden to eat, which makes sense. If the raven eats roadkill, if you will, for modern day vernacular, there's a really funny word for like dead flesh, conover or something. And I'm like, what is that? Okay, roadkill. All right. If the raven eats roadkill, maybe we shouldn't eat the raven, you know? And I don't know who it was, but somebody, I think I was watching a video online and somebody said, you know, if you're thinking about like certain kind of meat to eat, think about what that meat was eating before it was slaughtered, because you're then ingesting what it ingested, you know, which I thought made a lot of sense, you know, like if you've ever owned a pig, you may think twice before eating bacon again. I don't know. I mean, I know bacon tastes good, but you know, you see it even like wild turkeys, you know, we get wild turkeys around here, especially I think around this time, you see them kind of strutting around the road. And to me, I'm like, I cannot believe, you know, I used to eat a lot of turkey sandwiches. That animal is just looking off, you know. But ravens were forbidden to eat, and that's from Leviticus 11:15 and Deuteronomy 14:14. God said, don't eat it. Part of the law, do not go near it. Now, we're not under the law anymore. And just because ravens are scavengers, just because, they have that kind of cruel-looking countenance to them, doesn't mean that they're all bad. I mean, God uses in the Bible what kind of bird to feed Elijah, his prophet. When Elijah was on the run and he was by the brook there, ravens were used to bring Elijah bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And that's from 1 Kings 17:3 through 6. And so we see the raven wasn't always an evil bird, because it's so easy, I think, to contrast the two and say raven versus dove, and you know, this is death and this is life. And yeah, maybe there are those contrasts there, but God is operating on such a deeper level. And I think the bigger lesson here is that God is using what to help Noah understand when it's time to get off the ark. He's using his creation. So he used the weather, the water specifically, to destroy the creation, which we know we need water to live, amen. And he used ravens to go and help Noah understand when the world was dry. And you say, Brother Clark, the raven didn't necessarily return, right? So what does that tell you? You know, if I told somebody, hey, you go check what's going on down the street and you tell me, you know, we hear a bunch of sirens or something. And if they never come back, that tells me enough to know that there's maybe danger down the street, you know? I mean, I remember a time we were laughing so hard. I don't know where I was. I think I was at work or something years ago, and there was like an electrical installation or something, and we were trying to figure out if this cord worked, and it was for like a machine, and everybody looked at me and said, "Clark, you touch it, you figure it out." And I started laughing so hard because they wanted me to get electrocuted, you know? And so the Raven, I guess, is disposable. Maybe that's what God is saying, dispensable. But God loves his creation. And again, the Raven used to feed Elijah. Raven, being a smart bird, doesn't necessarily bring back the news that Noah wanted. Amen. Again, Raven's part of the crow family. Interesting, one commentator said that the Raven is glad at death. They love the smell of death. I thought that was very interesting. I mean, think about that. You know, again, I don't know that we have a lot of ravens. We do have ravens in North Carolina, because I read an article preparing for this out there near Raleigh-Durham area that a bird watcher was watching ravens and so forth. But out here, I know we have a lot of vultures. Our kids are homeschooled, and we take them to a little science class, you know, once a quarter or so, that's outside with a science expert from the city, like a liaison from the city of Kings Mountain or the Cleveland County, something like that, that it teaches about natural science. And she spoke of the ravens as having like little finger, or no, excuse me, the vultures having little fingers in their wings. And I see vultures all the time. And then what do? They just kind of circle and circle and circle. What are they looking for? They're looking for flesh. And if you, dead flesh, and if you get very specific, you research these birds, whether it be the raven or the vulture or another kind of bird, magpie, I think it was, they each eat a certain different part of the flesh. So God has his animals cleaning up this world, cleaning up the roadkill, if you will, in even different phases. And of course, you can read about in Revelation when God calls those birds to go ahead and have a feast like they've never had against all the enemies of Israel, enemies of God. And so we see here the bird loving the smell of flesh. Think about it. If the waters were receded, then the bird may have found something to eat and not come back. And so maybe the sign that the raven didn't come back was almost like a check mark that, hey, this is a good sign, because the raven would have come back if there was nothing to eat. But interestingly, we go on here and a dove is sent out, right? A dove is sent out. And of course, you know, we've got a lot of references to the dove. And let me read that verse again. That's Genesis 8:8. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. And I'll go ahead and read verse 9. And the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her unto him into the ark. So 8 and 9 tell us a new messenger's going out, because the raven, we can't figure out what they're doing. And yet the dove, doesn't the dove come off as tender here? Isn't it really interesting that the Bible says the dove found no rest for her feet? Amen. It says here, verse 9 of Genesis 8, but the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And you picture the little foot of a dove and the sole, the bottom of the foot. There was no rest for that dove. And you see here that what does Noah do? He takes the dove back in. If the raven had been coming back to the boat, you almost get the impression the raven was on the outside of the boat if it bothered to come back. But the dove was tender. The dove was fragile, if you will. And that, I think, is emblematic of what peace is like. You know, peace is kind and loving and beautiful, but peace is tender. Peace is fragile. Maybe the raven was violent enough to hold off any predators if anything was now alive again, right? And a predator could simply be a ravine. It could be a ledge of the rock that's uncovered. You know, it could be, a water issue. But guess what? The dove was tender. The dove needed help. The dove symbolizes peace. And we see here that 7 days passes. So we see here, and he stayed yet other 7 days. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And that's verse 10. And so in the biblical timeline, we see three sevens here. We see the 11th month of the 18th day. That's when the dove was sent out for 7 days after the raven. It had no resting place. We see the 11th month on the 25th day of the month. We see 7 more days, the dove goes out again. And that's explicitly explained here in the verse. I'm trying to find it here. Verse 8. Let's see here. Yeah, verse 10 of Genesis 8. And he stayed yet other 7 days. So other 7 days is indicative of a future, a past 7 days. We're going to park it right there. We're going to talk a lot about 7 days in the next episode. But thank you so much for listening. Tune in next time as we complete this little passage in Genesis 8. Take care. God bless. And amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.